Hi, I'm Gavin Brett, Hope Media Group Sales Manager. Welcome to the first in a unique series of marketing podcasts. Hope Media has joined forces with Step Change, one of Australia's most innovative marketing teams, to answer your marketing questions. Step Change works with one-person startups through to multinational companies. While a Step Change event is a high-impact, fast-moving marketing brainstorm, we've unplugged the guys for this series of one-on-one podcasts.
Okay, question number two is from Patricia. Now, Patricia runs a small boutique sole trader accounting firm. She's looking to move into financial planning. She's tried a whole lot of marketing strategies, and she's looking for a simple and easy to follow marketing plan. So we actually had the chance to talk to Patricia. Everyone that submits a question, if you'd like, we'll give you a call. We'll learn more about your business so that we can be absolutely as tailored as possible. And of course, if you like what you're hearing, if you need to know more, you can find us at hellostepchange.com. So say hello to Glenn and myself.
G'day. How are you going, Coops?
Good. Firing.
So Patricia, my start point on this is messaging. We tend to say that messaging is six times more powerful than the medium. So you can go out and try a lot of different things. Try AdWords, try ads in the paper, try anything you like. Even radio advertising, try it. They're all good mediums, but they're all limited by the power of your message. If your message is strong, you're going to have a six times better chance of cutting through. So that's where I'd start. What is specifically are you differentiating yourselves on as a financial planning business? Now, typically in your space, that comes down to service. What service promises do you have? What guarantees around services do you have? Those are the type of things which will let people have a chance with you. They'll give you a chance if you put those service promises out there. So that's where I'd start. What is unique about your business? What do you do that's differentiated from your competitors and that you think is really important to your customers? Those are things you want to be focusing on. And less is more with this. There's so many websites we go to now, so many clients, and it starts with, we were founded in 1975 and we're around to care for our customers and we give great service, we try harder, and we're constantly striving for excellence in everything we do. It's just wallpaper. Everybody's saying it. Everybody's saying exactly the same thing. The point here is to speak into the listening. What do our customers want to hear? And say it in a way that's pithy, different. That's going to get you ahead more so than any particular little tactic. So that's the place to start.
Just to ram that point home, I mean, financial services is a tricky one. It's very intangible. Often we're selling things like peace of mind and security. Financial advice is that next level of difficulty. In fact, it's one of the hardest things to sell out there. Now, we've sold financial services advice, built marketing calendar plans, built messaging for the likes of RI Advice, Mercer Financial, BT, Securitor, Asgard. And what we've learned from that is that the intangibles around this product are incredibly difficult to explain. It means that there's a whole lump of Australians that just aren't listening for this product category. So there's a really big job to do. And we need to realize that we're actually trying to bring people into the category to get them to buy financial advice and financial planning for the very, very first time. Now, when they have no understanding and, in fact, negative perceptions of the category, that job's incredibly tough to do. So some tactics that are important around our messaging is to build ourselves a solid, predictable, certain and robust process so that we can put something in front of customers that they understand. But then we need to make sure that we talk right into their specific pain points and their emotional drivers. You know, they're not getting advice because they want a statement of advice or a long document. They're getting it because at the end of each month, all of their money's gone. They're getting it because they can't afford that surgery they want. They're getting it because they've had a major life incident or trigger like a baby or losing a job. Once we understand these trigger points and we can show them how our plan and our process alleviates them, that's when we have power. So financial advice, more than anything else, we need to differentiate that process, but we need to very, very quickly tailor it to the exact customer that we're talking to.
What Coots was getting at there is, don't talk about the features of your business, talk about the implications. What are the implications of having that service in their life? How's it going to change their future? How is your financial advice for me? And that's where we get to implications. Moving away from messaging for a second, what I think is really interesting, Patricia, is everything is marketing. So it's not just buying an ad in the newspaper or on the radio. Those things are marketing. Those are paid media. But it's the owned and the earned media, which is where you can get some real breakthroughs. And this means everything we do with our clients should be remarkable. Every touch point should have something in it that's newsworthy that they want to talk to their friends about. Because ultimately, word of mouth is what's going to drive your business. So think about that. Think about the entire customer experience and think about what are the things we can do that make that remarkable. We deliver our financial advice with a bottle of champagne with it. We do X, Y, and Z. We have open nights and we provide beautiful cappuccinos or cold beer when our clients come in. Just something which makes our experience different and remarkable.
Okay, so Patricia, when we spoke, we talked about your current budget, what you thought you would spend, and how many customers you wanted to get. Now, without getting into the details, we worked out that your cost of acquisition with those numbers would be $333 per customer. Now, the reality is we know this needs to increase. Now, we've got some inside knowledge. We've worked in this category a fair bit. But the BRW puts the average cost of acquisition of a customer up around $654, or basically double what you've allocated. Now, this isn't necessarily bad news. It's just reality. We need to ask ourselves, at what price would I buy a customer if I could go to the shopping center and buy them off the shelf like a packet of cornflakes? Because we can then ask a second question. How much money will I make off that customer over the average lifetime? Because the thinking works like this. If I could definitely buy one for $1,000 and I knew I would get $2,000 worth of profit over the average lifespan of financial advice being 3 to 5 years, then we would go out and do that time and time and time again. And too often, budgets are set on what we think we'd like to spend or the lowest number possible without any real thought into it. And I can tell you right here that $653 is an average price. In professional services and financial services, it goes north from there. So we fundamentally just need to allocate a little bit more to buy customers, but knowing that we're going to get that money back in the end.
Now, I want to just change it up a little bit here, Patricia, and get into some really interesting tactics which you can use kind of immediately and just get running with. The first one is, and you're looking for kind of cost-effective ways. So the number one thing I'd suggest is make sure that we are tracking what we call our Net Promoter Score. After every significant interaction with a client, we need to ask them one really key question. How likely are you to recommend our business to a friend or a colleague? Now, based on that, the people that give you a 9 or a 10, those are your promoters, and those are the people that we go and ask for testimonials. And the tactic here is if we can get those people to give us a recommendation, a 5-star recommendation on Google My Business, that's probably the cheapest, most cost-effective thing you can do for SEO and for creating the social proof which is required when people are making big investments of money in things that really matter for them. So Net Promoter Score, those who are giving you 9s or 10s, making sure that you're driving them to a Google My Business page and that they are leaving you recommendations there.
Now I want to get tactical. Patricia, you asked for something simple and easy to follow. I've looked at your marketing tactics here with Glenn and we said the same thing. There's not enough frequency, how many times we talk to customers, and there's not enough engagement. It's a high involvement, begrudged purchase, and we have to shatter the preconceptions on this and what people think about it with our messaging, but we also have to up the engagement. So here's the tactic, and I hope you've got a pen ready. There are more associations in Australia than any other country. There's actually an association of associations.
Oh, this is a good one, guys.
And if you go to the Association of Associations of Australia, they have a full list of all of the associations. These have within them your customers. Now, the insight here is that associations countrywide are struggling to deliver value and relevance to their members. And within that, there is a niche positioning and specialization that suits your business and your trade area. So if you're in WA, you're looking to target the resource sector. And you might go to these associations with a targeted piece of content, face-to-face and online, which is financial planning for plumbers, financial planning for miners, financial planning for electrical engineers. Do you see how you've taken the knowledge of yours that you already have and you've made it super duper relevant and you've given marketing of utility, something that the associations can use and the actual end customers can use. Now, you wanted to get a certain number of clients and I guarantee you that if you can get into 3 associations, into one of their annual conferences with roughly 100 to 150 people in it over the next year, I guarantee you with this targeted tactic, out the back will fall enough leads for you to talk to those individual people about why it's specifically good for them and get that number of customers at the end.
Now, I just want to end with one final comment, which is, Patricia, you talk about a newsletter that you send out quarterly. We talked about marketing with utility, so making sure that everything we send out has real value to our customers. When I hear newsletter, I always kind of roll my eyes a little bit. And the reason I do that is, who really wants our news? Like, let's think about it. Most people are not thinking about our business the way we are. So I'd encourage you just to have a think about reframing that from a newsletter to actually things which are of value. And we call them an autoresponder as a way of framing this as a tactic. But what that essentially means is rather than a newsletter that just rolls and rolls and rolls, which people may or may not be expecting and may or may not find valuable, is to actually think about what are the things that really matter to our clients where we can really add value. So it might be, for example, the 9 ways that we can optimize your tax efficiency. Now, a string of content based on the 9 ways that we can optimize your tax efficiency becomes really interesting. People can opt into that straight off your website. They can opt into that once you've done a speech at one of these associations that Coops was talking about. And then you've got what we were talking about earlier, which is effective frequency. So now you've got permission to get into their email inbox 9 times over perhaps 18 weeks with something that's of real value to them. You know, it's got to have real value. And it's got to be something that links back to your business. So those are the type of ideas which actually tend to work better when it comes to conversion than just a straight newsletter.
So in summary, get your messaging very pointy and differentiated. Make sure that you're pulling on those emotional drivers and implications so that we can change the perceptions. We then want to make sure that we've done the thinking around our cost of acquisition and our lifetime value. And hopefully we've shared some figures there that can help you set a more realistic budget. We've then looked tactically at a couple of things that you can do across the association's tactics, as well as your marketing with utility and your newsletters, to make sure that your effective frequency and your engagement are high enough to get results and to reduce the spending on advertising.
To have your marketing questions answered by the Step Change team, head to hope1032.com.au/podcasts.